Scene 3, Martin Walters, 12:10 p.m. It was somewhat after noon when I wandered up to the banquet room and found the doors closed and a sign that said it would open at 12:30. That was when it was scheduled to begin, so I don't know why I was surprised. Every 10 seconds a party of two or three tried moving in, promptly got shooed out by some waiter, and walked out looking annoyed and embarrassed. A young man of about 22, I should judge, standing near me, and I suppose impressed by my distantly superior attitude, as though I knew far too much to try to get into a door I couldn't get into, asked if I were a writer. I confessed my guilt, and he wanted to know my name. "Darius Just," I said. He looked uncertain, and I knew what was going on behind his face. He was wondering what he could say that would be polite and would not give away the fact that he hadn't the foggiest notion of who I was and what I wrote. I sighed inaudibly. It was Martin Walters who rescued me, and for that I forgave him finally for the day before. He called, "Darius," and motioned strenuously for me to join him. I did so, and he said, "What are you doing standing there in the ranks with the privates? Come join us officers at the cocktail party." "What cocktail party?" "This cocktail party." I had followed him to a small room just off the banquet hall, and there it was, and Martin had a drink before I could draw two breaths. About 100 people were talking to each other in clumps, the biggest group maintaining itself at a respectful distance from Douglas Fairbanks Jr. himself. I looked to see if Shirley were there, and when I saw she wasn't, I knew she could be nowhere in the room. She'd probably arrive too late to do anything but get into the luncheon, and I decided I had better not tell her that she missed a chance to touch her hero, or she'd be too miserable later to touch me. Anita Loos of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and Kathleen Nesbitt, who played dowager duchesses in at least 50 movies, were there too, both small and aged and looking happy. Asimov was there, being introduced. He held out his hand to Anita Loos with a fatuous smile and said, "I've always wanted to play cards with you and Howard Fast, Miss Loos, for then I'd be playing fast and loose." She looked at him in puzzlement, and I stepped away quickly. I didn't want to be introduced after that, since I despaired of being able to top that remark for sheer imbecility. Footnote 1. Darius insisted this passage be included, but what the devil is there about the remark that should be sneered at? It was spontaneous and clever. Isaac Asimov. Footnote 2. He still thinks it's clever. I rest my case. Darius Just. Then it occurred to me that since Asimov was there, Giles DeVore ought to be there also. At least he ought to have been finished autographing over an hour ago. I looked about again, and Martin Walters, remembering my question of the evening before, I suppose, the only other alternative is telepathy, put his head on one side, focused his glance on me through his pince-nez, and said, "Looking for DeVore again?" "I thought he might be around," I said. "I don't think so. He's probably off somewhere sulking. That man is not a professional. He proved it again this morning." "What did he do, Martin?" "He made some kind of fuss during the autographing session. I don't know what it was. I was in the room talking to the Hercules Books people, and all I know was that the autographing was stopped cold. Do you know Nellie Griswold of Hercules?" I thought a moment. "Maybe by sight. The name doesn't ring a bell." "If you know her by sight, you're well off. Tall and very..." His hands waved appropriate curves in the air, which was easier to do now that he had reduced his drink to its icy skeleton. Then he looked about to see if anyone had seen him make those terribly obscene gestures. "Don't get me wrong," he said. "She's a nice girl. I believe you. I know lots of shapely girls who manage to be nice, too. But what did she do?" "Oh, you mean about that nut DeVore? She had to run and bring him something. It was awful. It just put a damper on the show. The damn fool had better not sign at all than put on a display like that. He didn't seem to have been drinking, but something was wrong with him." I made a routine deprecating noise. I must admit I wasn't terribly surprised or even interested. DeVore was clearly developing temperament and had already become unbearable. So much the worse for those who had to deal with him, among whom would never again be me, I silently swore. Martin put down his empty glass on a convenient table and said, "I understand you chewed him out last night, Darius. I was glad to hear it. Do you suppose that had something to do with his being upset today?" If he wanted some retailable gossip, he wasn't going to have it. "Not a thing," I said quickly. "We're on perfectly good terms." It is unbelievable to me, as I look back on it now, that I could listen to Martin's reference to a fearfully upset Giles, talk to him briefly concerning the night before, and still not have anything register. By then, of course, it was some 45 to 50 minutes too late.